pray with me. And God, we do stand in this kind of defiance against any spirit of discouragement, any spirit that will rob us of our joy, any spirit that will put us down, and will say in its face that we will stand on your side, the King of Kings, the God who has won the victory, the God who is reigning still in this world and in our lives. And God, we have to confess that we had to hear these songs and we had to sing them this morning because they speak to our situation. They speak into our lives. They express what we need to hear and what we sometimes just want to hear, that you are still God, that you are still in control. So Father, as we are here this morning, we know that you know where we are in our hearts and our minds, what has transpired this past week, the struggles that we may have been through, and some kind of even what goes on in our minds. So God, we just bring it all to you this morning. Pray that your Spirit may touch into our hearts and our lives, that we are experiencing your uplifting power. Thank you again for being with us here this morning. We pray all this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you for the worship team for leading us, and it was really a good way of a good segue into what we were talking about this morning. As you may notice, we will finish off our series that we have started weeks and months ago as we were trying to look back into the foundations of our faith by looking into the letter that Paul wrote to the church around Ephesus. And today we come to one of the passages of this letter that is probably one of the most famous in this letter. It is the one that is one of the all-time favorites of those who thrive on any kind of literature on spiritual warfare. This is the text, and some other ones from the Old Testament. And if you have gone to church long enough, you probably have heard about spiritual warfare. Numerous books were written, several theories developed, how that all works. And over the course of my ministry, I know that has been going through all kinds of stages. You know, all kinds of interesting, weird ways how to look at this world, and that this world is reigned and surrounded by demons, and behind any misadventure and anything that goes wrong in my life, there is a demon lurking and there is a spiritual warfare going on. I'm not 100% sure that all this is very helpful. But nevertheless, we take a look at our text, because here we are confronted with some realities that we need to look at. We also understand, I think, that the whole battle between good and evil is the thing that movies are made of. I mean, movies thrive on that topic in one form or the other. There's good and there's evil. And then we find ourselves often watching those movies, sitting on the edge of our seat and hope that good will win and that evil will be defeated. That's a common denominator in everything that makes an interesting movie, besides some other things. And I think as we go through this world and look at news, we probably won't deny that there is evil in this world, that there is evil around us, and that evil is often showing its face in different forms. And as we talk about this today through our text, we have to realize that certainly there is a battle going on that is beyond sometimes our physical world. There is a spiritual world out there too. And as we are followers of Jesus Christ, I think we're very familiar with that, because we do believe in a spiritual God, in God who is spirit. But that there's also something going on that is beyond our physical explanation. And again, it's not for me to put any fear in us. In fact, the whole text is not about fear, as we will read him later. And it's the exact opposite. It's giving us the strength to face the battles that we might be in. A famous quote from C.S. Lewis is from Screwtape Letters. I don't know whether anyone read those Screwtape Letters. It was actually a radio show that C.S. Lewis put on, actually around the Second World War, C.S. Lewis, for those who don't know, was a professor for English literature in England. Very famous, very well known, a smart guy, who later on, very late on in his life, became a Christian. And in his Screwtape Letters, it's actually where he looks at the world from the eyes of the devil. Whoa, that sounds not very scary, but he does. He looks at the world from the eyes of the devil, who has an under-devil, Screwtape, who does all the work. And he looks at the world and what the devil is doing to destroy Christians. So when he writes in this book following, he said, "The general public prefers either to ignore the forces of evil altogether, to pretend they don't exist, and to use cartoon images of the devil with horns and hoofs as an argument to that effect, or to take an unhealthy interest in everything demonic." And I think with that, he pretty much describes the spectrum that we find even today. Those who think it's laughable, it's not existent, it's not there, any one of this stuff, any talk of spiritual forces and devil and Satan is not real. To those who truly see behind every corner the devil lurking, you know, and see everything, oh, it's a bad world. People always tend to go towards extremes. And spiritual warfare, when we start talking about that, it easily makes us feel fearful and anxious, especially if that's for the first time that we hear about that, we feel like, ooh, something is out there, maybe I haven't known all that. So again, I'm stating very clearly today, and as you read the text with me today, this is not the intent. Quite the opposite. It is telling us that there is victory, that victory has already been won, and we have to live in this victory. Now, let's turn to the text. It's Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 20. And I read from the New Testament for everyone. It says, "What else is there to say? Just this, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the complete armor. Then you will be able to stand firm against the devil's trickery. The warfare we're engaged in, you see, isn't against flesh and blood. It's against the leaders, against the authorities, against the powers that rule the world in this dark age, against the wicked spiritual elements in the heavenly places. For this reason, you must take up God's complete armor. Then when wickedness grabs its moment, you will be able to withstand, to do what needs to be done, and to still be on your feet when it's all over. So stand firm. Put on the belt of truth around your waist. Put on justice as your breastplate. For the shoes on your feet, ready for battle, take the good news of peace. With it all, take the shield of faith. If you've got that, you will be able to quench the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Pray on every occasion in the Spirit, with every type of prayer and intercession. You will need to keep awake and to alert for this, with all perseverance and intercession for all God's holy ones, and also for me. Please pray that God will give me words to speak when I open my mouth, so that I can make known loud and clear this secret truth of the gospel, that after all is why I'm here enchained as an ambassador. Pray that I may announce it boldly, and that's what I'm duty bound to do." So the first thing that we need to, and probably will understand when we read the text, we are in a battle. And you wonder sometimes, or some may wonder, really? Never noticed that. And others may say, I know what you're talking about. In fact, when I was preparing this text and working my way through it this week, I actually took a moment and I sat down and said, "God, so here's a text, and it's easy to do all the work around the text and to do the exegesis and all this stuff. How does it apply to me? Am I in a battle right now? Is there a battle raging in my life that I need to acknowledge? Is this truth? Or is it just an intellectual exercise that we just go through the text, we understand the text, and we understand the soldier and all the army, the armor and all that stuff? Or is it real?" And then I started listing certain things that happened from the beginning of this year to now. Things that happened in my life where I felt like, wow, if I put this all together, that looks quite interesting. Struggled sometimes within the family. struggles within the church. COVID, that we haven't anticipated earlier in the year, and then all of a sudden it was there, and life became very interesting, especially for us here as Grace Point. Several voices who came out of the woodwork during this time telling me all the spiritual forces that are at work and conspiracy theories, and try to battle against some of those spirits. And the list goes on and on, where I felt like, wow, yeah, there is a battle. There is a battle going on. And what is this battle all about? The battle is, and I've mentioned it before, it is about your mind. It is about what you think. It is about what you think and focus on and what it does to you. Because what we think and what we focus on determines how we feel and how we even view the things around us. If this is all dark and cloudy and all a bad conspiracy and of all dark forces in there, guess what it does to you? That's how you live. Head down. Oh, it's all dark. It's all, you know, well, we have to get through this. You know, it's all dark and all the powers are there. That's what it does. And it may lead, especially when it's not getting better, when it lingers on, when it lingers on long enough, to some mild form of depression, of being depressed, of being down, of being, you know, wow, it doesn't change, can't do anything, nothing happens. It might affect our life personally when we have personal, I might have lost your job, or people in your own family have become sick with COVID. Maybe some even of your family may have passed away. What do you think? What do you focus on? What is truth? What is it that keeps you going? See, the battle is on and around your mind and what you think. And then look into your own family. What's going on there? How often we struggle with that. And I just recently talked to somebody, when you have teenage kids, it's a whole different battle. I'm lucky that I'm not there anymore. But if you have teenage kids and you go through those difficult times and you feel like, my goodness, I'm under attack. No, I wouldn't say you're not. It's teenage kids. Welcome. But it's still real. We are in this battle. We're trying to find it. Never seem to have it. Or things may pile up in your life. Have you had that? You know, some things pile up. There's the car breaks down, the washing machine breaks down, you lose your job, and your kid has trouble in school. And you feel like, come on now. You know, it's enough. I can't deal with all of that. What keeps you going? See, I'm not saying that behind all of this there's a devil, and the devil is right there and working behind it. But I think there is reality that stuff happens around us to demoralize us and to pull us down. And this is the reality in this text where Paul, as he ends his letter, and after all that he has written to the young Christians in Ephesus, said, finally, that's what the word he uses here, this text, finally, in the end, this is what I want to tell you. What does he want to tell you? Oh, you're in a tough battle. It's going to be tough, and you barely will make it through. And this is a tough life. Just hold on to it. No, finally, be strong in the Lord. That's what he wants to say. Finally, be strong. And then he tries to describe, why do I have to tell you that? Because there is a battle going on. There is something going on in this world that will attack us, that will bring us down, and especially Christians who are under this scope of these attacks. One commentator says the following: the fight is against the forces of evil that have been upset by the victory of the resurrection of Jesus. They are positively panic-stricken at the thought that the message of this Jesus is everywhere challenging their power and authority, and that communities loyal to Jesus as Lord and King are springing up, bringing together communities in a new unity, new humanity, that shows evidence of God's power and therefore their own imminent destruction. So here he sees that there is some power at work who has been defeated through Jesus Christ rising from the dead and being alive. And now Christians, people, been putting their trust in Jesus, coming together, overcoming the boundaries of racial divide and of any kind of division among them, coming together as churches, as people of God, and celebrating Jesus as King. And that needs to be destroyed. And for 2,000 years, we're in that battle. In exactly that battle, that the church, the kingdom of God, the people of God are being destroyed, that they are dispersed, that they are not getting along with one another, and that starts with you and me. It's never, I always say this, never the church. It's you and me if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the church. It's never just this entity out there floating in the air. It's you and me. It's people. And that's where the battle rages in you and my life. And if you are stepping out into the kingdom of God, and if you commit your life to Jesus Christ, then we have great victory in our life. But we also have a new battleground that we battle. That when moments come when you have doubts about all of this, when life gets more difficult, when you start doubting even what Jesus has to say about certain things, it is struggle that comes in our forms, in different forms to us, in form of temptations. It comes in form of authority in towns and cities that try to prevent Christians from spreading the message. And please, this is not the time. I just this week was introduced to a video where some churches think this is now the spiritual attack against the church. No, we still have freedom to be Christians. If people feel we are under attack, go to those countries when you truly are persecuted. But it is happening. I'm not saying it's not happening. It is happening. It's come to in form of persuading Christians to invest their time and energy in irrelevant side issues. That's a form of attack. When we're not focusing on the thing that are matter, but we go on side issues, angels, spirits, dead demons. You know the interesting fact about this? The Bible is very, very quiet about that. Very quiet. Has not too much to say. Very little. But we make it our hobby and sometimes our main focus to know more about this. What we need to know about this is that Jesus is the King. And that God won an eternal victory in Jesus, raising him from the dead. That death is overcome. And death will never, ever strike those who believe in Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? That's the message that we believe in. But the battle is still going on in your soul. And if you are depressed, and if you're cast down, and if you're always focused on yourself, and by the way, that's one of the other methods, is to just turn around yourself. You know, me and my life. Oh, me and my life. And God wants to raise up your head and say, look at me. I'm still here. It's not just you and your little life. It matters, but it's not the most important thing. It's Jesus and his kingdom, and I will care for you. Didn't he say that? If you put the kingdom first, I'll care for you. Take all your worries and cares, cast them on him. If you have worries and cares, pray about. Isn't that saying that all the time? But oh, me and my. But it's a tactic to get us distracted, discouraged, depressed, anxious, angry. The battle is going on. Where do you feel that right now? Does this whole COVID thing press you down? And it's real. It's not helped if we don't admit it. If you don't have any issues, good for you. If you do, then admit it. Yes, presses me down. Yes, it's real. Yes, it does something to me that I feel like I can't do what I need to do. But how do you deal with that? Second thing I want you to know, and what the text wants you to know, God wants you strong. God wants you strong. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He says, what else is there to say? Just this, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his power. He wants us to recognize the nature and dimension of the conflict and then stand firm against the enemy. God is strong. God has abundance of power. In fact, he already defeated all powers of evil. The letter up to this point makes this clear. That's the whole message of Paul, that God has done already whatever it takes to overcome this world. And now he says, now you friends, you followers of Jesus Christ, come on, stand with Jesus in this power as it's still raging, as if it still has power, but it will be subdued. Paul admonishes us to live in this victory. He wants to be strong. And the point is, you don't have to be strong in yourself. It is not about mustering up now whatever is left in me and do what it can to stand against it. Guess what? You will not be able to stand against it. And the text doesn't even suggest that. It just says, here is what God has provided. And we call that the armor of God. Where he simply says, here it is. But the only thing we need to do is putting it on. Jesus doesn't put it on to ourselves. It's this whole idea of discipleship that is so common, where discipleship is this process of applying in my life what God has already provided. That's discipleship. It's not me getting me myself there. That's religion. Discipleship is God has done the victory. He has given everything I needed. I need to put this on. I need to live in this reality. I need to live into this truth. And I need to live into this reality. And that's where we come to the next point, that God provides all the help you need. Take it and put it on. You know, it's helpful to open the Bible, everyone. It does. It's helpful to read it every once in a while. And to take in this text, like, for example. And to read it through and say, God, this is what your word says to me. What does it say to me? And this is one of the messages. God wants you to be strong. And he says, and this is what I give you that you can put on so that you can stand against the battle. And Paul takes this image of a Roman soldier. You know, a soldier goes into battle with the armor that is provided for him. And he puts it on so that he's able to go there and to face the enemy. Some say that Paul may have gotten this idea from the soldier that he was chained to while he was in prison. It could be. But most likely, if you do some Bible study, he takes these images from the Old Testament. In Isaiah, for example, where the Messiah is described, the future Messiah described as the warrior who will come and fight the battle. And he has similar words in Isaiah about these armor. And what he says, in other words, now step into the footsteps of the Messiah and take on the weapons that he has to fight this good battle. And to put on the armor of God means now to identify with God and his purposes. You're not alone. God knows about the battle. And he said, God, I realize that. And God says, see, I told you. And here it is, if you're in my army, that will help you to go through that. And I will be with you. I will be walking with you. I will be your shepherd. I will be your guide. I will walk you through the valley of darkness. I will walk with you through good times. I will pursue you. I will be with you. But you just need to put on what I have given you. Satan, the evil one, tries to get a foothold in our lives. And that's reality. He tries to get a foothold to our own character, that we give in to some of the old character flaws that we have been born with and trained and grown up with, and sometimes cannot control, like uncontrolled anger, falsehood, stealing. He is committed to hinder any progress in your life. And that the evil is there, that the evil is present in our lives is very obvious. I just have the privilege of watching my grandkids now. You know, two boys, 2 years apart. Guess what they can do really well? Fight. You know, give him one toy and then, or two toys, and then the other one was the other one's the other toy. And I sat there the other day and said, where does it come from? Did I teach them that, or my kids, did they teach them that to fight for this? No. But somehow they do that. And they again get so nasty and so mean. And I wonder, where is that coming from? You know, they always have this theory, environment teaches. My grandkids have not grown up in an environment who taught them that. That theory doesn't work. So it's somehow inherently in us that we tend to those methods. You know, I have to punch the other one. I have to, you know, pinch the other one. I have to whatever do I need to do just to get what I want. So evil is there. It is there, and we have to fight this in us. We are not to live into this victory. And as I've mentioned before, we are involved in this process. And if you look into this text, all of the verbs of the actions that we need to take are active. That means I need to do this. Like having fastened, to fasten the belt. I have to put on the breastplate. I have to fit the shoes on. It's all active. It's actually that I am involved in this. I have to take up the sword of the Spirit. And now Paul goes through all these elements and tries to apply them to different situations. And again, as I was thinking about this text, I think Paul's intention was not for us to be totally enthralled about a Roman soldier and to look at, oh, wow, he's so cool, how he did all this stuff. That's not his point. He says, I just use it as an image so that you take whatever that means in your life and that you do it. It doesn't help you to know that there's a belt of truth if you don't live in truth, if you don't apply it, if you don't know what to do with this. So read this text in such a way that you can try to understand what it means. And I just go back to that moment when I sat there and wrote down all the things where I feel like, so am I in a battle? Is something going on in my life that I understand as a spiritual battle? Then I also have to think, so God, what does it mean now to put this armor on? What does it mean? How does it work? So, and as I go very quickly through these elements, that's all I want to do, not describing all the Roman soldiers and how they look like, but the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. That means live in the realities that God has created. That's truth. That's what you can rely on. With all the misinformation that's out there, that's what you can rely on. The realities that God has created, that Jesus is risen from the dead, that he is alive, that God is the king. Dallas Willard expresses it very uniquely in his words. So the reality, the kingdom of God is reality. He always says, you know, the most important question is what is real? You have to answer that. And a typical philosopher and theologian speaking, what is real? And he says the kingdom of God is real. God reigns sovereignly above in this world. He reigns in this world. And I have to live in this reality and not start doubting with that. And say, is he really? He is. Put on the belt of truth. Live in the realities that God has created. Stand on them. Recite them to yourself. Put them on a piece of paper and read them to yourself. Bible verses that state the fact that God is true. Put on the belt of truth. The Christian message is true. What God said about himself is true. And what God says about me is true. And I stand on this. And I just want to divert a little bit. But what does God say about you? What does his word say about you? Let me just give you some. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. You are loved by your Father. You are wanted by the Father. You are liked by the Father. He is not distant. He is very close to some of the truth. Stand in it when doubts knock at your door. And when you feel like, well, my earth is shaking under my feet and I don't know who I am anymore. Put on the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. In our text, interesting enough, it's translated a bit different. It's about right and rightness. And that has to do with that. Righteousness is often a word that we cannot deal with. It's a typical biblical word. It gets so big that we don't know what to deal with that, to do with that. But what it means, very simply, that God is right and in the right. And that he put me and you right with God. What was wrong before, he put it to the rights. When we were going away and leaving God and going our own way and living our own thing, that was wrong. Now he puts us back into the right. Into the right relationship with him. That we are living in the right relationship. He is my Father, I am his child. It has to do a lot to do with my identity. By the way, here's a clue. Most of those weapons have to do with my identity. Who I am in Christ. And to be reminded of that and stand on those truths. And this is one of the things that with the breastplate of righteousness is that we are made right with God. I am made right with God. How many times do we spend doubting that often? Do you? I do. There are moments when you say, well, man, forget it. Never cutting it. Where I can stand and say, God, I trust that in what Jesus has done, I'm put in right with. And I can stand here. No matter what others say about me, no matter what my conscience sometimes says about me, no matter what how I feel about myself, I am standing here and I'm right with God. Put on the footwear of the good news of peace. That's a good one. I love that one. And it is what, and that, let me say it very bluntly, what comes out of your mouth when you're in the middle of a battle? That's what it is about. What comes out of your mouth? Complain, you know, putting it down, anger. He said, put on the message of the good news. Let this be an opportunity that you share the good news that we just explained, the two first one, that I'm right with God, that God has done everything I can to be in a good relationship with him, and that this is also true for you. That should come out of your mouth. That's a message of peace that we should be fitted on our feet and be quick to share, that we bring this out, that not my mouth contradicts what I try to believe in my heart. And how often do we do that? No, that I find it myself. I'm talking about myself. You know, sometimes you are in prayer and you pray and bring all that, and then you get up from prayer and somebody, how are you doing? And I said, really? What did I just do there? I prayed to whom? God, all powerful, almighty, my Savior, my Father. And I get up from my prayer and I start moping. Put on the good message on your feet. And let it be spread to you. The shield of faith. It's laying hold of the truth that God has provided. The truth that we have, the belt of truth. And here we just lay on to them when we are bombarded by enemy's attack here by the arrows. That's when we put them on, the shield of faith. when doubts come, when despair comes, when temptation comes, when personal tragedy strikes, when triumph puts me to arrogance and pride. See, that's where we are. We're either low or high and somewhere in between. But in all of that, put on or hold on to the truth provided in His Word. Faith. God, I hold on to what You said about me. That even if I go through the unimaginable tragedies, that You're my shepherd. That You will not leave me. That You will lead me again through green pastures and still water. And I hold on to You. That's all I have. Faith. Applying biblical scripture to myself. By the way, it's helpful, I said it before, to read the Bible. I can only apply what I know and what I've read and what I've mulled over, thought about, and what I've tried to apply. That's why I often say when we read the Bible, it's not too far down though. When you read the Bible, don't read masses of chapters. It might work sometime. It's also not bad. Stay sometimes with the text. Chew it. Think about it. Try to apply it in your lives. Squeeze out what it has to say to you so that it becomes your nourishment. The helm of salvation. Laying hold of salvation as we engage in the battle. Assured of my status in Christ. Again, identity. That I'm assured of my status in, and that I use the sword of the Spirit, the only offensive weapon, to speak forth the truth and God's message. That His Word is something in which I live, which I know, and in which I stand, and in which I use also to fight against those temptations. Jesus has modeled that. Jesus modeled that. If He had to use Old Testament texts to battle the devil in the desert, how do you think you can get by in your temptation without the Word? We need it. We need His Word. And then lastly, don't forget to pray. It is not actually, from the context, a part of the armor. It's not. It is mentioned almost in addition to that and as something that surrounds and should surround everything. Prayer accomplishes what we couldn't do by our own effort and organization still. Somebody had a good illustration that it's like a walkie-talkie. You know, you're in the battle, and as a soldier in the battle, you never know the whole battle. You just know your front that you're working on. And the whole battle is raging all over. And it's good to have a communication line with the general who has the oversight. And he said, that's prayer. Prayer is just talking. God, I'm battling here on this front, and that's what I'm doing. God, what's going on? What do I need to do? What is going on? And then I also bring all those other soldiers, if you will, and pray for them. That's what this text says. Pray for one another. That's a form of support. That I'm also recognizing it's not just me and my battle. See, we are so self-centered, always. That's our nature. It's all about me, my battle. But in our prayers for others, we also recognize I am here with my brothers and sisters. And that's what, therefore, I find it so brilliant that the Lord's Prayer always starts with our Father, who is in our. I'm not alone. I'm standing together with others and are in this battle. Different fronts. Different battles, but together in God's battle. Prayer takes work. Prayer needs to be taken serious. And there's too much to say about this. Can't do it all today. But my question to you today is, what do you take away from this text? What is it that you want to take away? We don't have to live in defeat. You don't have to live in defeat. God wants you to be strong right where you are in your specific family situation, work situation, and whatever else your life is like right now. God wants you to be strong. There is a battle that rages for your mind, your thoughts, and you cannot win that battle alone. I need to take action by putting on what God has provided. That's what God wants us to do, to put on what He has provided, even if it's sometimes, because we can't do much else, throwing ourselves on His mercy and say, God, here I am. I'm done. Help me. Help me. If your child would ever cry out of desperation, help me, Dad. Take action to put on the armor of God, what God provides, and live in that assurance of who you are, that you are God's child. And in this battle, you are on the winning team. The victory is already yours. The kingdom of God cannot be stopped. Again, going back to Dallas Willard, who thought more about a lot about the kingdom of God, says several things are true. The kingdom of God will never fail. The kingdom of God has all the resources it needs to succeed. And the kingdom of God has all the power available that it needs to succeed. And so do all who live in it. easy to talk about the kingdom of God like the church, but it's also about you who are in it. If the kingdom has it, you have it. Turn to Almighty God, the all-powerful creator of heaven and earth, who raised Jesus from the dead, who conquered death, and let him be on your side. Let's pray. God, we want you to be on our side. And as we are fighting these battles, let us listen carefully to your word. We pray this in your name. Amen.